Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. You got at 7:07, your host, James J. here. I am joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
And we have Beth Habegger with us.
Good morning.
We hope you guys are having a great start to your Monday. Thanks for kicking it off with us. We got tons of fun things to get into this hour. We're going to get into our National Day of Calendar in a little bit here. 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. In the 9 o'clock hour, good stories of the day, that ain't right stories. We'll see what else we can get ourselves into. I'm going to try to give away a pair of River Kings tickets between now and 11 today. Notice I said 11. Because after this show, we'll have playmakers lined up for you. Nobody made a highlight from the sidelines getting the game. Join the conversation with your sports thoughts and feelings. I'm guessing there's quite a few out there.
There might be.
It's a busy weekend.
Just a few.
Randy Paul will be joining us. Looking forward to that. I got my partner in sports there today. So we'll, of course, have plenty of great coverage for you on the national level, on the high school level, and all the above and all the in-between. All that coming up for you. Got some great good stories of the day for you today as well. Looking forward to it all. Want to kick things off, finding out how you both are doing. Melissa, how was your weekend?
It was really busy. But we got a lot accomplished. The weather was just absolutely glorious. So we got some things done on Saturday. Went to a Halloween party. It was Clue themed.
Ooh.
So we went as Mr. and Ms. Orange You Glad We're Not Scarlet. Mm-hmm. I wore an orange dress, and my boyfriend wore an orange shirt and a suit. Suspenders. You'll have to tell Seth, Beth, that
yes.
You wore suspenders.
I'll have to show him the picture. I saw it on Facebook.
Yeah. Yep. And then on Sunday, we just did a ton of stuff around the house. Yard work, getting the flower beds cleaned out, ready for winter. We even washed windows.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Jeez.
Yeah.
Do you go to other locations to do that too?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Good. It's a great follow-up question.
Nope, we do not travel.
Darn.
For windows. Everything else.
I kind of feel like we should give you like an hour off here. Like,
yeah.
It's a 3-hour show. If you want to take an hour off, Beth and I can take
there
an hour
go,
here.
Yeah.
I
mean,
you
know,
oh, sweet. That's, all right.
I don't mean to embarrass you. I have to tell you, I saw that picture of you and Aaron. It is such a great picture,
it
Melissa.
Really is.
You guys look so darn happy. It is great.
Thanks.
It's yeah. coming off of the screen. It's,
yes.
It's just great. Love the idea, too. Really,
yeah.
really did love that idea. That was really creative.
Yeah,
did
what are
you
fun.
Guys? Did you come up with that one?
No, actually, Aaron did.
I was wondering. Okay. All right.
Yeah. I mean, I had the dress, and then he had the shirt. So then he's like, oh, well, let's just be Aren't You Glad We're Not Scarlet.
There you go.
There's a lot of good reasons to have a good sense, you know, have a similar sense of humor with mm-hmm. your partner. This mm-hmm. is one of the sneaky ones.
Yes.
The Halloween ideas. Nobody talks about that. But this is another key category to have that. Oh, is that good. Thank you for sharing that, Melissa. That's mm-hmm. awesome. Beth, I know yours is the only one that can match her. You had a pretty busy weekend too, didn't
I
you?
I did. I was traveling home on Friday from a conference that I was at just outside of D.C., which was wonderful. Flights all went well. Drive home went well.
What was the conference on, if I can pry?
It's called the Interprovincial Ministers Convocation. So pastors in the Moravian Church from across the United States and Canada, and don't think that that's a lot because it's only like 150 at the most. Anyone,
I wouldn't have known.
Yeah. So anyone could come together, and we spent a day learning about how to incorporate spirituals into preaching. And had a wonderful speaker who is a professor from New Testament at I believe Duke University. He's also the dean of the chapel, and he preached for us that night, and man, if you want to hear some preaching, it was awesome. And then got a day to just connect with my brothers and sisters who I haven't seen, and because that only happens every 7 years, and
yeah.
I missed the last one because I happened to be pregnant with or had a toddler.
Kids.
And, yeah, go figure. So it's been probably 15 years since I've seen some of these colleagues. So it was wonderful, and I got to spend a day in advance of that with my best friend from Fargo. We met up halfway in the cities. And so it was a 3-hour drive back, but got to listen to a book, which was nice because I often don't get to do that. And then yesterday, I got to cash in on part of my birthday present from my husband. He got us tickets to the Overture for their Broadway series, so we got to go see Pretty Woman the musical.
Wow.
And God bless friends who are willing to spend 9 hours with two little redheads who can have a lot of energy. So that was a wonderful day. And then yesterday morning, my congregation decided to celebrate Pastor Appreciation Sunday. So I didn't have to do any part of worship. They they planned it. They led it. They had a reception for me following, and it just was a wonderful morning, and then got to kind of relax into the week by not having to do much yesterday. So it was wonderful. It was busy, but good and relaxing and rejuvenating in a lot of ways.
Nice.
Yeah.
How was the show?
The show was phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Both Seth and I went, I didn't know they turned that into a musical. A whole bunch of people. And then when you, in the program, it says that that was one of Gary Marshall's dreams before he passed away.
Really?
So they started working on it in 2016, and it premiered in 2018. And the writer of the script for the movie also helped write the book for the musical. And then Brian Adams, if you remember that voice from the, he helped write the music
for it. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was, there was some nostalgia in there because you could hear some strains of other songs that he's written.
Sure.
And
yeah.
once you hear it, you can't unhear it.
Yeah.
But overall, the acting was phenomenal. The voices were just amazing. And they did stick with some of the iconic costumes that were there. And there were lines from the movie that were in the musical. It just, it was a wonderful experience.
It's one of the, because nowadays Broadway is going to chew up and spit out anything that they don't find worthy. Ask Spider-Man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even superheroes couldn't survive on Broadway. They could survive everything, but they can't survive that. So it's got a, it had to have some meat to it. I didn't know all those details. I didn't know Brian Adams had written on it. I didn't know that they would have incorporated all those things. And I'm a huge Gary Marshall fan. I did not know that about him.
You would appreciate this one then. Huh. Yeah. And it only survived on Broadway for about a year, but it broke records at the theater where it opened the weekend that it opened. So it was very good.
Cool.
Yeah.
And I have to say, Seth does some integral, really great work around here. But this off the field stuff, this is making it that much harder on every other man. I'm kidding.
He is an amazing gift giver.
He really is. No, he really is. He's a step above there when it comes to that. That's so cool to hear. And so with the services, if people, like we always like to remind people, if they want to catch your service and with the Moravian Church, they can go to Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church and type that into your search bar on YouTube. It would be would the service yesterday be similar to what we've seen before?
We stream live and then we leave it on YouTube, so it's on our channel. So you can even from the past year, you can go back and see any of the previous services. And sometime probably tomorrow, it will get onto our website as well, wrmoravian.org.
Excellent. Oh, wonderful, Beth. That's really cool to hear. And very deserving.
You've earned
every second of it. I have to tell you, you always come in here with great energy, great spirits. You seemed a little more relaxed today, though.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't seen that part of you in a long. I don't even know if I've gotten to see you relaxed at all. Like, I'm not saying you're super relaxed. You're still got, you know, plenty of
energy. I'm super tired still.
Is that it? Either way, it's good to see you. Looks good
Thank
on you.
You.
That's good to hear. We got some fun stuff to get into to start this show off. I thought this would be a great place. I don't know why. I generally have no honest reason why I thought this would be a great place to start, but it's a little silly and kind of fun. Police in Scotland warned drivers of an interesting guy that they had to watch out for over the weekend. So they expect delays after a bull wandered into traffic.
What?
Road Policing Scotland said in a Twitter post that a bull wandered into traffic on the MB Highway near Junction 30 near Glasgow. We've all been over there.
Oh, yeah.
We've all been there.
Yeah.
Police shared a photo of the bull, which bore an earring tag reading Lover Boy.
Oh, gosh. Oh. He's looking for love in all the wrong places.
Yeah, yeah. quote, despite calling it its name on its tag, it didn't seem to acknowledge us, and we're awaiting the local farmer to assist. So this bull does not go by a call, by, you know, would not answer to its name.
Okay.
I have been very honest on the airwaves here. I'm a city boy. There's so much about nature that I'm still learning every single day, and I'm enjoying every bit of that process. But there are certain things that I still don't know. I'm not sure if a cow or a bull wouldn't recognize its name if you gave it a name. I don't know if that's completely ridiculous and everybody's laughing at me right now, or if that, yeah, of course they do. Why wouldn't they? I don't know one way or the other if this is a rational thing to do or not. But I do know an irrational thing to do is name a bull lover boy. That's putting expectations at a different level for a bull. I think.
Well, maybe he's good at his job, James.
Never can tell.
You don't get that nick. Well, sometimes they give you nicknames like the big guy. They name skinny. The skinny guy. They name big. Big
yeah.
whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's that or maybe you're right, Melissa. I don't know. Either way. Either way, I don't know if this bull was necessarily lost or just on a Tinder date. I don't know.
No, I wasn't surprised when you said it was Scotland, because when you see pictures on usually social media, for me it's Reddit, of all of those amazing cows with the long, like, shaggy coats or the fluffy cows, they're always in Scotland. So this guy was just trying to up his game and get out there, put himself out there. He wasn't getting any attention. He thought if he just wandered into the highway, you know, that's the way to do it.
Mm-hmm. But it was utterly embarrassing having to do that, though.
Especially for a bull.
Yeah.
I really need the bum-bum soundtrack. Researchers at the University of Cal Berkeley unveiled a robot that they said can fold clothes faster than any previous automation.
Okay. Oh, I need this robot.
Yeah, you and me, both of us, Melissa, I'm with you on this. The team from the school's auto lab said the robot aptly named Speed Folding. That's the most
that was creative.
So they spent all their creativity on the robot.
On the
apparently.
Robot itself, yes. There's
nothing left for the... can fold 30 to 40 random positioned garments per hour, compared to only 3 to 6 folds per hour for previous clothes folding robots.
Did you just say randomly positioned?
Yeah.
So does that mean that they can just be scattered and they'll grab them up?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Like pick them up out of a laundry basket or something.
I think that might be the most interesting part. That's a really good catch by you, too, Beth. I didn't catch that as quickly. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So just grabbing stuff.
Yeah.
Just, okay.
And then being able to do that many and that. Yeah.
The robot uses.
That's quite the increase, too.
Yeah. The robot uses a neural network called Biomanual Manipulation Network to interpret input from the machine vision, and it manipulates the clothing using a pair of industrial robot arms. The researchers detailed the robot's creation and capabilities in a paper submitted for presentation at the International Conference on Intelligent Robots. I didn't have time to go this year. I usually host. I wasn't able to go this year.
There's only so many hours in the day.
Really is. Folding garments reliably and efficiently is a long-standing challenge in robotic manipulation, the researchers wrote. This is actually a huge game changer with the creation and the evolution of robots.
Well, if that's always the game thing, why are they not mass producing these things and getting them into our homes?
Yeah. Every like the moment you're leaving the hospital with your child, like, and here's a robot
that folds. One less chore you have to do now that you've got 20,000 more.
Right. And I also have to throw out there, because they always, whenever it comes to these stories, there's if not multiple people, there's always one person. Yep, this is how they take over.
What are all those movies? iRobot.
I will save to that person for once. If you're right this time, I'll be the first one to admit when we're all like doing whatever the robots have us doing and everything. I mean, like, I didn't see that coming. giving them the power to fold.
Right.
Who knew?
Yeah. It's the gateway.
That's all it took. Letting them drive our vehicles didn't do it.
Nope.
But teaching them how to fold our clothes and us becoming so dependent on that. Like, I watch like 4 or 5, decades from now and everything. Nobody even knows how to fold clothes anymore because robots have been doing it. That's just how they slowly take over. I mean, they could play the long con. They don't have the life expectancy thing
right.
we got today.
No, they got all the time in the world.
Yeah. We will come back and get into our National Day of Calendar. It's Beth, Melissa, and James taking you through your morning on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. 7:22 on the clock on this October 24th. 2022. You got your host James here. I'm joined by Melissa and Beth, and it is time to get into our National Day of Calendar. It's World Trippy Day.
Tripe.
Trippy? Tripe Day.
It's World Tripe Day.
World Tripe Day. That makes a little bit more sense. Tripe is a word that has come to mean pointless, silly, or false. These terms are only appropriate in how the reputation of tripe as a culinary component has been undermined. Tripe is the edible lining of farm animals and primary cattle. While it sounds off-putting to the average palate, tripe can be formed into an incredible meal full of flavor. World Tripe Day celebrates the much-relived dish and strives to return it to a place of honor among meats.
Interesting.
I know that it's prominent in Mexican food, so you can get it in Wisconsin Rapids at La Taqueria.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
I haven't had it since I was a kid, but I don't think I've ever seen it spelled even, though. So, interesting. Especially when it comes to trying different meats and everything. That's a great one. You're going to notice that that's actually a really fitting one for today, too. It's also United Nations Day.
Yay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's all come together.
That's an important day.
United Nations as an organization is well known to just about everyone around the world. They are particularly participate in activities ranging from assistance in times of disaster, both those coming from natural disasters and those caused by wages of war. They offer medical assistance to those in need in those these places, as well as providing clean water, food, and places to rest and recover.
Mm-hmm.
The UN has been represented as both hero and villain, depending on which movie or TV show or news network you watch. United Nations Day celebrates the foundation of this great organization and is a great opportunity for you to learn the truth about its past, its present, and what its plans are for the future.
Yeah.
Founded in 1945.
Wow.
I think for some, the United Nations might seem even older, and for others, it may not.
Right.
But I don't think you can. I mean, there's not an organization under the sun that doesn't have good and bad to it.
Yeah.
They're at least in its history has had some good or bad or something like that, let alone something that is as complex as what the United Nations tries to do every single day. Understandable. I will say that for me personally, I think it's better we have it than not.
Right.
Well, because they are working to protect human rights, promote social and economic development, provide aid in case of famine, natural disaster. I mean, they're formed for a good purpose.
Yes.
We are so separated from each other in so many ways, where you look at where we are and where Australia is, or, any of these things, anything on the other side of the world, literally or figuratively. but we're all on the same rock.
Right.
There's nobody who gets to set the rules here on this planet. Everybody's got to work together. Everybody's got to come up with these things for themselves. Oh, this works over in your part of the world. This works over in our part of the world, et cetera, et cetera. But without there being any, overall, rules to this whole thing, humanity and everything, we make the rules as we go, let's be honest.
Right.
You need something like this. You need an outlier that is not looking out for a king or looking out for a president or looking out for any one nation, but looking out for the world. Who's looking out for the world?
Right.
We've got a lot of people out there that believe in conservation. We have a lot of people that will talk a good game about healing Mother Earth. But who is truly looking out for this planet? I'm not saying the United Nations is, but this is almost as close as we've got to looking out for people.
Mm-hmm.
Who's looking out for the planet? That is right. It's this interesting thing we have to really to face. Because I'm not saying that who should do it or anything like that. I am not nominating myself. It does seem a little bit like the farther we go along with this experiment of humanity and everything, it seems like, I don't know, somebody should be stepping up for it. Where's Captain Planet? Where's that guy? My brother loved that cartoon. Where is that guy?
Yeah.
Let's see here. National Bologna Day.
All right.
Bologna.
You're full of it.
Half of what I just said was bologna. No.
Actually not.
No.
I joke that because I thought of my brother right away, because I think of my brother whenever I think of bologna. my little brother, I've never known anybody. I don't know if he still does or not, but my brother Nicholas, when he was little, loved bologna more than I'd never known another human being, let alone another kid. I'd come home from school, and it'd be one of these hot summer days. I'm riding my bike into the driveway, and I run over a hard thing of something. I can't tell what it is. It's a piece of bologna that's been sitting in the sun that my brother just dropped. Is after he took a couple bites and just dropped it and everything. I thought it was going to give my tire a flat. I've been out there a while. Either of you fans of bologna?
I used to be. I haven't had. I can't tell you the last time I had bologna.
It's been a little bit for me, but it was always a special treat because it wasn't something we got a lot as kids. So at grandma's house, we'd get to have white bread with butter and a piece of bologna on it. I don't know why that was so much a treat, but it absolutely was.
I get that.
I
couldn't even tell you the last time or what bologna even tastes like, let alone I could not tell you the last time I had it. But to each their own, because today is not about, you know, what the foods you don't like. It's about the foods you do like. It's National Food Day.
Yay!
Hooray!
Let's see here. Well, food is important.
Absolutely it is.
There we go. I think that sums everything up.
You kind of need it to live.
Yeah.
Food is awesome. Getting families to pay more attention to what they are eating and then make improvements towards eating more real and whole foods is the entire essence of National Food Day. It's certainly a great day. I don't know a person out there. I know a lot of people that eat healthy, a lot of people that eat good. And I don't think I know one person that wouldn't be a bad idea to take a glance at your diet, glance at what your family's eating or the people closest to you or maybe the people you eat most of your meals with, and looking out for each other. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the great things about today is not only sharing like recipes maybe or that kind of thing, but tips and different things that you might do to improve your diet, to make it better. Melissa hit it on the head. This is our fuel. This is our gasoline.
Absolutely.
This is our everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, we need the sun, we need oxygen, we need water, all that stuff, and food.
Right.
and all that's great, and food is fun. Like
it can be, absolutely.
It can be very fun.
I can't think of many things that are more versatile to bring people together more. That I mean, music's the closest thing I can think of, but music does not do much to, you know, when you got the hangries and everything. It doesn't
do anything for your stomach.
No,
it does not. It's for a lot of other things. But
and for so many generations, healthy food equaled bad tasting food.
Yeah.
And in recent years, you know, the last couple of decades, we found ways to season and flavor healthy food so that it becomes even more enjoyable than some of the fast food junky stuff that we like to go to.
I think absolutely. And another cool thing about food, National Food Day, is calling attention to foods that you may not necessarily think of for some recipes, which is what we're going to talk about in the Kitchen's Open today.
Yes, yes. How perfect is that, that the Kitchen's Open today, which will be in the 9 o'clock hour, is and National Food Day.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Just like you two planned it. Nicely done, you guys. Nicely done. We will,
master plan.
We'll get to Melissa's news here. We'll come back. We'll have some more fun. I want to talk, it is, as we get closer and ready, more ready for the Halloween season, we've got a fun one about how many people believe they have seen a ghost, and also want to get into this one with you guys. How many of us remember our first words?
I thought
that would be a fun one. Mel, you mentioned Reddit earlier. I got a thing from Reddit about they came up with 75 things annoying people say. we'll get into that a little bit later. That should be fun. All this coming up for you and so much more. It's Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR. Serious comedy to start your day. I don't want Halloween to end.
No.
I don't.
These are fun.
Can I? It's going to be like we're getting ready for our Christmas show, and I'm going to be playing this. I'm going to be doing that. It's like, James, you got to let it go. It is fun. We're getting ready for Halloween around here. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. 7:37 on the clock. You've got Melissa, Beth, and James here as we get you back into things on Mornings on WFHR. So we got an interesting one here. As we are gearing people into Halloween, a new poll for Halloween asked 1,000 Americans about the paranormal and found almost 1 in 5 of us think we have seen a ghost before. 19% of people say that they've seen a ghost. Here are a few more quick stats on things we have experienced but can't explain. So before we dive into this one, where do we fall on this one if we polled the three of us?
Okay.
I don't feel confident enough to say that I have seen a ghost. If I was surveyed, even in a blind survey, I would not feel confident enough to say, yes, I have. I may have, I'm not 100%, but I'm not 100% either way. I don't know if anybody truly can be with a subject like this, but even in the 90 percentile mm-hmm. or something like that, I wouldn't even feel confident going there. So that's where I am on this one. Beth, how about you?
You know, I think it depends on how you define ghost or spirit.
Sure.
So, good point. I wouldn't say it's out of the realm of possibility that I've seen one. I've been on ghost tours and things like that, mm-hmm. but to physically see an apparition in front of me, I don't think that's happened yet.
Yeah.
But I don't say that it couldn't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Beth, Melissa, sorry.
And I would say that I have felt a presence.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And in a story I cannot relate on air, but I haven't seen one, no.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I wonder, too, because, it's not as if they really make it known in traditional senses
right.
and everything. So how could you be 100% on something like this? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Looking at some other stats, most of seen a ghost say it's happened multiple times. Just 9% say it only happened once. Almost a third say it happened more than 5 times.
Hmm. Wow.
Hmm. There's a 50-50 chance you'll know the ghost you encounter. Of people who've seen a ghost, 29% said that they knew the person. 29% said it was a stranger. 28% said that they've seen both. And 14% weren't sure or didn't see the ghost's face. I don't know, maybe this is just me. It feels really rude to ask for their ID.
Yeah.
Can I see your ID, sir? Do you have your driver's license? That was so good. Even not in the same building or in the same city, your chemistry is right there, you guys. That was great. That was really good. especially if you're a person who's terrible with faces. You probably haven't seen the person in a while, mm-hmm. I'm guessing. And, I know this one. It's really embarrassing when you see people and you haven't seen them in a while and mm-hmm. you can't remember their name.
Mm-hmm.
Now think
mm-hmm.
about it on this level. you're a ghost. You take the time to haunt this person.
Yep.
You know, you want to be a presence in their life still a little bit before moving on.
I know you from somewhere.
It's Jack.
But, yeah.
It's Jack. We went to school together. Come on. Like,
really?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah, you don't remember me? This is a real waste of time. This is really, I didn't know the ghost's egos could be destroyed, but wow. I love that bit. That's a great idea for a bit. Most ghosts are nice. 40% of people said that ghosts they've encountered have been good compared mm-hmm. to just 7% who are evil. A lot of people said that they've met good and evil spirits, though. If I'm going to take if I'm going to dive all the way into this subject, I've never been a person that has been able to believe that, well, you can only have one side of things.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's only bad. Oh, there's only good. I've seen way too much of my life not to see balance. And, mm-hmm. and where there is one thing, there is another. And 99% of the life I've experienced, that's the case. If I'm going to go ahead all in and believe in this, it's hard for me to believe that there would be just one without the other.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't disagree with that. I do wonder, though, how much it could be misinterpreted, considering, again, they can't necessarily talk to us, you know, without a Ouija board, supposedly. Although I don't really put a lot of stock in that.
Right.
So, yeah, dogs. And I find more and more in life, I compare things to dogs. And I have no idea if that's good, bad, insulting or not. I apologize if it is. But dogs have one tone. One thing they can do, they know basically one word, bark, rough,
right.
You know, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
When a dog is happy, when a dog is scared, when a dog, more times than not, their tone, their voice is the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's no different, especially when they're talking to other dogs. I'm of the firm belief that every dog is Italian, because every dog yells at each other. And that is my family to an extent that you guys don't really understand.
Okay.
I talked to a listener this weekend who was teasing me about my family and my Italian family and everything. And like, I love when you joke about them. I'm not joking.
This is serious.
This is very serious. Like,
yep.
This is my family. I'm not like exaggerating here, but I exaggerate from time to time for comedic effect. I do not have to with these people. If one of my relatives was a ghost, it would be very like in your face,
yeah.
very like I don't know. And I don't know. I could see how some people could misinterpret that as evil, especially if you were not dealing with goat. You're not used to it, which the majority of us aren't.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting.
And, you know, I like what Melissa said about feeling the presence. I think that's a way that there's communication beyond what we understand as time and space. And I think most of us, you know, you think about the TV shows that have address the issue of the paranormal, especially ghosts and things like that. And I think of the Ghost Whisperer and that understanding that ghosts are around just because they've got a piece of business that they need to take care of. I don't know that that's just the case. You know, I think a lot of us would love to be able to understand what's beyond what we know and experience. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the ways that we're trying to explain that.
I think
And that's where the fascination for it comes from.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is nobody who knows 100% what happens after this.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody. And that's freaky. That is really freaky. Imagine just the first time that knowledge hits your brain when you're young or whatever. Humanity has been around for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. We've walked on the moon. We have gone to depths of the ocean that we never even dreamed possible, never even crossed our imagination. Yet that, we still are no closer than when the first Neanderthals and humans were living together, all these things. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, we still haven't gotten any farther on this subject. We're still right where we are. And please understand that I'm not incorporating religious text or anything like that into this conversation. I'm just talking about basic human beings and what we know of it, and that part of it is freaky. It's so it makes sense that after all this time being on this planet, this is something we would do. We would create these things. It's not to say they're real or they're not. It's just I think to be able to. Isn't life a little more fun when we don't deal with complete absolutes?
Yeah.
Like, I'm a person that loves knowledge, and I hate not knowing the answer to something. I cannot tell you how much I Google in life just to find the answer to this question that I have in my head. But even I think that the part of the beauty of life is the mystery.
Yeah.
Part of the fun of the journey is the mystery and not knowing how this whole thing ends or how a lot of it ends for how none of us know how it's going to end for us in particular.
It's the searching that adds the growth. That's when we learn. That's when we, you know, can expand our understanding is by asking all of those questions.
Mm-hmm. Well said. We will take a break right here. We'll come back. We'll have a bunch of fun with a couple of other more topics we're going to get into. I got a tip for helping people remember people's names.
What?
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. We're going to get
into
that.
Thank you, George.
Yeah, we're going to get into that. We come back with George over here and George over there. I'm just going to call everybody George.
There we go. Yep.
That's my new thing.
I prefer Kevin, but go ahead.
Before we go to break, I did want to go into our guests from Morning Magazine this week. In part one tomorrow, we're going to have from the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce, George. In part two, the Family Center, Georgina is going to join us. On Wednesday, we'll have George. We'll go ahead and we'll take a quick commercial break. We'll come back and have some more fun on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Got Beth, Melissa, James all here with you. Hope you're having a good one out there. 8 o'clock hour is going to have Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. We're also going to get into the Reddit came up with these 75 things annoying people say. how many of us believe that we can remember our first word?
Wow.
That's an interesting one, too. That should be fun. Want to get into that as well. So all that coming up for you. But I have two articles that I came across this morning that I thought, even though they're not from the same world necessarily, I feel like I see a tie-in. We first start off with a bit of a life hack here. One trick to stop forgetting people's names.
Okay.
Want to avoid that awkward moment when you bump into someone who you've met before and you can't remember their name, especially if they're a ghost. Oh, my gosh. That's really embarrassing. So here's a trick from a memory champion. Yes, that's a real thing.
Yes.
You can use to remember everyone's name. When someone tells you their name, create an entertaining mental picture of them and put something in that mental picture that makes you think of their name.
Okay.
For example, if you meet someone named Ross, picture him in the apartment with friends. Really picture him there, though. Incorporate some details that will stay easily in your brain, that kind of thing. And the next time you see him, you'll associate that memory with him.
Okay.
If someone has a less sitcom-friendly name, that still works. For example, the name Hasbiya, Hasiba. It's a beautiful name. Picture her laughing with a zebra. Ha plus zebra equals Haziba.
There you go.
Plan words, all right.
If you get in the habit of making these mental pictures, you'll be able to remember the people's names for a long time, even if you go months or years before you see them again.
That's a great tip.
Sometimes these life hacks are, you know, you try it and no harm, no foul. There's no side effect or anything like that. Other times, they can be kind of fun, can be kind of cool.
Right.
And I think there's a little bit of both those worlds in this one. Like, if it doesn't work, oh, shucks, it didn't work.
Right.
You know, I mean, you're in the same boat you were in before. No worse, no better. If it works, though, oh, it's got to be such a fun thing for your brain. You know,
it's a great way to incorporate your imagination.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how often do we talk about screens are really taking away that time to develop your imagination? And this is a wonderful way to start to incorporate that again, no matter your age. Yeah.
Yeah. I did a similar thing, but because I have such a big family, I usually associate them with a family member. So picture the name as, oh, okay, well, that one's my Uncle Chuck.
Yeah. I'm, of course, working with two other actors here and everything, and we'll get more into that in a little bit in the 9 o'clock hour with you, Beth.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to this, the first thing I think of is, for me, I couldn't sit and just read lines and memorize my lines. I've got to have my blocking.
Mm-hmm.
I associate so much of my memory comes from, I'm here when I say this. Now, it's not like I stand on X and I have to be in right here, because I've had plenty of times where I'm on the wrong side of the stage and I think of my lines and stuff. So it's not completely associated with that. But there is a bit of it tied in. And with the struggles I've been having with memory and with brain, just my brain lately, and it's still healing and everything, I've actually leaned even more into this and found that it has been a godsend when it comes to me and my memory, where there are certain things that I cannot afford to forget, literally. And I think that I've been able to get a good balance of that, even with the healing and not trying to put too much on my brain while dealing with that. Well, because of that blocking kind of memory thing that we have as actors and stuff. Is that the same for you guys? Or do you find that your lines come to you a little bit more when you have the blocking to go along with it?
Oh, absolutely. And it was the same with dancing. If I could incorporate a move that coordinated with a certain note or word in a song. And I think it's the multiple systems that you're using. You're not just using your mouth or your brain. You're having to actually incorporate a body position with it. And it's, you know, acting and dancing are very similar in that way.
Yeah, it's kind of like a backup plan.
Ooh, yeah, they're so right. Yeah, it is. That's a good way to put it. Again, if this works, awesome.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's pretty cool.
It's worth a try.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If not, no harm, no foul.
Yeah.
You know, keep moving. I can't think of anything that, because I wanted to, I always like to tag these with like our own tips, our own help. I think that, you know, anything that that I can say has pretty much been said ad nauseum when it comes to memorization.
Right.
I will say that with having such a difficult time with this, even long before I had brain trauma, I had a hard time memorizing lines and everything. The thing that really helped me was consistency.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just being relentless about it, but also taking the moments to, okay, yeah, I'm not going to memorize any. It's 2 a.m.
Right.
It's not going
to stick.
Your
brain needs to rest. Yeah.
Got to rest. That is one of the hardest things I have had to learn as a grown adult. Is that line of, okay, you know what? Nothing else is going to. I'm not going to gain any more knowledge from today. Or nothing else is going to. My creativity is literally spent. I'm done. I got to choose my battles here. I got to move on. Like, I think that has helped me memorize just as much as the relentlessness about the other side of that.
Well, that's what sleep is for. It's allowing your brain to really process more fully everything that is experienced without having any more input coming into it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we all need that time. One of the tips that I got early about learning people's names, because moving from congregation to congregation to congregation, I have a lot of names that I have to learn in usually a pretty short period of time. One of the tips that I got was try to use their name 3 times in your first meeting. So when they introduce themselves, say their name back to them.
Huh.
Try to say it once in the conversation and then say it again when you part ways. So then you've got that rule of 3, because they say it takes 3 times hearing something before it really sinks into your brain.
Hmm. That's really good. I like that one. Melissa,
excellent tip.
Dad, did you have anything, Mel?
Just what I said. Like, I associate it with other people that I know or other family. It's just another way for me to help with the memory recognition.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting you bring up your position, Beth, being a reverend and everything, because for me, I feel really rude when I see somebody I recognize from Morning Magazine, but I've met them once, mm-hmm. and I've met like 90,000 people in between then, and mm-hmm. I can't place it. And nobody's ever made me feel bad, especially Midwesterners. We don't really do that. But I feel bad. I feel unprofessional. Right. I feel guilty. As reverend, I imagine, geez, that's a whole other level of it and everything.
Yeah, you learn how to just acknowledge people for people without using specific names.
Yeah.
And I have gotten to the point where I'm honestly, I put myself in, you know, under it, and I say, I'm sorry, I've forgotten your name. Can you remind me?
Yeah.
And, I feel bad because I don't want them to think, oh, they weren't memorable. It's just that having to meet so many people, trying to figure out, okay, where do I know you from? Are you from the church? Are you from a different congregation? Are you from, you know, a different denomination? Yeah. Are you from the theater? Are you from this other aspect of my life? So, you know, you kind of learn little ways to make them feel seen mm-hmm. without having to force yourself to say, oh, this is their name and this is where I know them from.
I think in many ways that's a pretty good tip in itself, too. Because it's is there a person that has never had this happen
right.
to them? I mean, come on. This should be bringing us closer together. Like, oh, yeah, I know what it's like, you know, mm-hmm. that kind of thing.
I think adults can be a little more forgiving about it because we experience that, mm-hmm. you know. When I worked at the high school, though, man, high school kids, they can be rough.
They can.
And they run up to you in the middle of a store and go, oh, hey, what's my name?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. I haven't seen you in 3 years.
That's really weird. And Melissa, are you saying that high schoolers can be moody? Are you saying that?
I know, it's weird.
It's shocking.
Huh.
Breaking news right here.
Interesting.
Folks.
Interesting. I'm gonna look into that one a little more. Along with that article is this one here. There's no way this is true, or half of the world's orders would be a lot different. According to a new survey, a third of Americans consider themselves to be perfectionists.
What?
A third?
A third.
Only a third?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
32% say that they are. Another 13% say they think they might be. And just over 50% say that they are definitely not a perfectionist. Whether you are or not, what's your opinion of them? Do you think it generally is a good or a bad thing to be a perfectionist? 50% of Americans think it's a good thing in general. 32% say it's a bad quality to have. And everyone else isn't sure, of course. The poll also found...
nobody's perfect.
Yeah, right. I was just going to say, those people are definitely not perfectionists. The poll also found 50% of us get along with perfectionists or don't find it too hard to work with them.
Mm.
22% said that they don't work well with perfectionists. I think that you have to first up, when you hear somebody, oh, I'm such a perfectionist, what's your definition of that?
Right.
Because there's a big line in the sand of people who, like myself, who are perfectionists, and I don't choose to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's the way my brain works.
Mm-hmm.
I can't help it. Things stay with me if I don't do these things and stuff. And the person who just... you know, man, they're crazy about work. They're trying their hardest to be great at work or what have you and everything. And they're relentless about it, but they may not have that the brain thing going on. It's more of just a work ethic.
Right.
I don't know.
I think it varies based on how you function with your perfectionism. If you project it on other people, I think that's a bit more of a problem and annoying than if you are just subjecting yourself to it.
Yeah.
Right. And there are actually different kinds of perfectionism. Seth mm-hmm. and I actually came across an article on Saturday, mm-hmm. ironically, about perfectionism and how, yeah, it can be. And we find this in all areas of our life. Our strengths and our weaknesses are the same. So what can be a strength can also be a weakness, or what's a weakness can also be a strength. And it's the same thing with mm-hmm. perfectionism. When you use it to strive towards something, that's great. When you use it to judge other people, that's not so good.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
using it as a motivator is a wonderful thing.
And I really like both of what you guys said there, what you just said, Beth, what Melissa was touching on before. I tend to be this way, but I've never put it on anybody mm-hmm. else. I think that's it's a poor man who blames his tools kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not the same, but similar to that. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you putting your own stuff on other people, that's never going to end well. Never.
Right.
And everybody deserves grace, including yourself. You deserve to give yourself some grace. Because I guarantee you, Mother Teresa messed some stuff up. Like, I mean, everybody, there are no perfectionists. There are no perfect people walking under the sun that never have been, never will be.
Preach it, brother.
Okay, got to give yourself a little bit of a break here and everything. I'm going to actually re-listen to this podcast later in the day, so hopefully this will sink into my own head.
Some of it will sink in.
Yeah.
We will take a quick commercial break. We'll come back after some CBS News. We got Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club, and plenty more coming up. It is Beth, Melissa, and James taking it through your morning here at WFHR.